morning we're going to talk a little bit about that Queen of the South who came from the ends of the earth to see Solomon. And we're glad that you're here. As Eric and Daniel have already mentioned, we are so grateful for those who can be back with us, having been out for some time. And the Lord has answered many prayers on their behalf, and we are grateful for him to do that. And it is good to see the Nels this morning and others who can be out and be with us. Appreciative of our visitors as well, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. Jesus said on the occasion in this scripture reading that a greater than Solomon is here, and we want to talk about how Jesus is greater than Solomon, and he's greater than that one whom the Queen of the South came to visit. You know, I think about today in our culture and in our world, people who either have an interest in Jesus or not, and we're trying to get people interested in Jesus, but they're caught up with the things of this life and they seem to have no interest in him. That was the case in Matthew chapter 12 in our scripture reading. Jesus in verse 38 is talking to some Jews, some scribes and Pharisees who are supposed to be religious, but they have no interest in him. And he's trying to make an argument that he is greater than Jonah. And he is greater than Solomon, and they should have an interest in him. If these Ninevites can repent and a greater than Jonah is here, surely the Jews on this day could repent. If the Queen of Sheba could come and visit Solomon and a greater than Solomon is here, surely these Jews could come and get their wisdom from Jesus, but they refused. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, they ask for a sign, which is a miracle. He had just given them one earlier in the chapter. He had healed a demon-possessed man, and they said that he was doing that by the power of Beelzebub. They clearly don't want Jesus. And I believe that there are people like that today. Some will follow Jesus, but not for the same reasons or in the same way. They won't go back and be true New Testament Christians and follow the way Jesus would want them to. They follow Jesus, but they do it in their own way. Others will do it when it's comfortable and convenient. We're going to see this morning a woman who came many, many miles to see Solomon. It wasn't convenient for her. It wasn't comfortable for her. But a greater than Solomon is here. And we don't even have to travel a great distance to get to Jesus. We don't have to travel the many miles that she did to get to Solomon. And yet some today won't come and follow Jesus. And then there's others like those whom Jesus spoke to who just simply will not follow. And that's sad, because he is our only Savior. But the argument that Jesus uses here in Matthew chapter 12 is an argument from the lesser to the greater. If the Ninevites can repent at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah is here, then we should repent with Jesus Christ. If a woman can travel a great distance to get to the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here, we need to do what we can to get to the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And it's really an indictment on the crowd here. Did you notice that Jesus used two examples of non-Jews? Did you notice that? In verse 41, the Ninevites, they're not Jews. They're from Nineveh. They're from Assyria. And if these non-Jews can repent at the preaching of Jonah, why can't you? And then he used an example of the Queen of Sheba, and she was not an Israelite, and yet she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Why can't you Jews do better than that? So we want to follow Jesus, and we want to do all that we can to obey Him. And we live in a world of comfort and convenience, and where many people are not interested in serving the Lord. Seth has been talking about, and Lyndon and Ethan, about individuals that they've been trying to talk to in the military about Jesus, and they will tell you that there are a lot of people out there that just don't want to commit. They don't want to commit. And that's the kind of world that we live in today. To help us have a commitment this morning to do all that we can to get to Jesus and remain faithful to Him, I want to use the story of the Queen of Sheba. And if you'll turn with me this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, we will look at that. The parallel account is in 1 Kings chapter 10, but we're going to read from the account in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 if you'd like to turn there in your Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and 1 Kings chapter 10 come in a section of the book that deals with all of Solomon's grandeur and glory. There are chapters here that talk about his wealth. There are chapters that talk about his works, all that he made, and his wisdom. And in this setting of the grandeur and the glory of Solomon, the temple has been rebuilt. Things are going great. This is the height of the United Kingdom with regard to its territory and its dominance in the world. Solomon had a navy. It's the height of Israel. And because of that, this woman, this Queen of Sheba, hears about Solomon's fame and wants to come experience that personally. Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. And with a very great train and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was not anything hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of Jehovah, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me. Thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants that stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be Jehovah thy God, who delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for Jehovah thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices in great abundance and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram and the servants of Solomon that brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces for the house of Jehovah and for the king's house, and harps and psalteries for the singers. And there was none such seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which she had brought unto the king. So she returned and went to her own land, she and her servants. This morning I want to talk about this woman and her efforts to get to Solomon, and I want to make the point that a greater than Solomon is here. If Jesus is greater than Solomon, could we not make the same effort or more to get to Jesus that this woman did to get to Solomon? She's a queen. If you look at chapter 9 and verse 23, even kings wanted to come and do the same thing. She was a woman of great position, but she realized that she needed to hear Solomon's wisdom. She comes from the land of Sheba. There are a couple of suggestions that have been given down through time. If you look at the southwest corner of Saudi Arabia, and you see up there on the map the modern day country of Yemen, that is a likely location for Sheba. If you cross over the Red Sea or the Gulf of Aden there, and you see on what's called the Horn of Africa, you see Ethiopia and Somalia there. That is the other suggestion that was given by Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews. He located Sheba in modern day Ethiopia or Somalia. But either way, whether it's Yemen or Ethiopia, this is a place that is quite a distance from Jerusalem. It was known for its spices. It was very fertile. Sheba is mentioned other places in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 6:20, Ezekiel 27:22, Isaiah 60 verse 6, Psalm 72:15, as being a place that is very fertile. And so she's bringing these spices to Solomon. It was also known for its trade. Job 6:19, Ezekiel 27:22. But what is impressive about this particular trip to me is the great distance that is involved. You see up at the top of the map, up at the very top left-hand corner, you see Jerusalem up there. If you're going from modern-day Yemen, take, for example, the capital there of Sana'a, you're looking at roughly 1,300 miles. This is not going across town. This is not even going across the state of Tennessee. This is 1,300 miles. If you're coming from the area of Ethiopia, Somalia, the modern-day country of Djibouti, you find that that is 1,500 miles. Now, what is 1,300 miles and what is 1,500 miles? You're talking about going from Clarksville out to Utah or Nevada. You're talking about going from Clarksville up to Montana, way up into Canada, Nova Scotia. If you're going south, you're talking about going down to Cuba and Puerto Rico. As the crow flies, it's basically the same distance between Clarksville and Guatemala. You're talking about a very long distance. Now, Daniel earlier this year went out to Colorado, and you're thinking, well, that's not a big deal to drive out to Utah. Well, she wasn't driving in a car. You can get in a car, and you can go to Utah and Montana and those places relatively quickly, conveniently. We're talking about a camel caravan. We're talking about walking. We're talking about maybe riding a beast of burden. We're talking about many days. I don't know the time of the year in which this happened. I don't know the weather conditions. But I know when you're walking through Saudi Arabia, For 1,300 miles, it's quite a journey. What's the point, brethren? The point is that she made a great sacrifice to get to Solomon, and Jesus is a greater than Solomon is here. We've got people today who can't go around the block to get to Jesus. I knew of a situation one time where a member of the church, you could almost see their house from the church building. They were closer to the church building than Thelma is to this church building. And this person didn't want to attend. This person was a troublemaker. Often when they did come, they caused problems. And if it weren't for the trees and some houses, you could see their house right there. A greater than Solomon is here. I'm not talking about the recent pandemic that has kept some of us away. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when there is a need like that to be kept in mind. I'm talking about this culture today of convenience, and if it doesn't just suit my situation. This woman came from a place and made a trip to get to Solomon. A greater than Solomon is here. It's the only reference I know of in the New Testament to the reign of Solomon. And Jesus uses it as a situation to point out how great he is. First of all, notice in our reading this morning, as I've just mentioned, the great distance that she was willing to travel. We're talking 1,300 to 1,500 miles. We're talking about a long, arduous journey. She was willing to give up her time to do that. She was willing to give up her comfort to do that. Consider the length of the journey and the number of days that that would have taken in weeks. Some suggest maybe even over a month. Consider the fatigues and the hardships of the journey along the way. Consider the perils. She gave up her safety. A greater than Solomon is here, brethren. Are we willing to do the same? Not only that, but we read in the text in verses 1 and in verse 6 that she wanted to personally experience this situation. She was not content with what other people had said. She was not content with some report that she should had heard. She was not content with hearsay evidence. She had a spirit of personal curiosity, and there was a restlessness about her that I need to get my questions answered. She had a spirit of inquiry. A greater than Solomon is here. Do we take that same approach? Do we want to know what Jesus teaches? Do we want to know what the Scripture says? Do we open the Bible for ourselves and read it for ourselves? And dig in and ask Jesus the hard questions and get the answers to those questions. Will we experience Jesus personally and not just by proxy? I think it's great that our parents, we have a number of parents here in this congregation that are raising their children the right way, and that's so encouraging. But young people, you need to have a relationship with Jesus because you want that, not just because your parents want you to have that. And we have spouses here in this congregation that are godly Christian spouses with each other, but we need to be having a right relationship with Jesus because we want that, not just because our spouse wants that for us. Notice her personal relationship and not just simply a proxy. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. That needs to be our attitude. I'm not going to accept the preacher's word, although I try my hardest to preach only the truth. I'm not going to just accept the preacher's word. I'm not just going to accept what some church says about such and such. I hear all kinds of things going on in culture today. I'm not just going to accept what the culture says. Young people, I'm not just going to accept what I see on social media. I'm going to search the Scriptures, Acts 17:11. I'm going to search that myself. I'm going to examine the Scriptures myself and come to the conclusion of the truth of the Word of God. What a great attitude to have. The third thing we find is that she was willing to share her possessions. She gave, verse 9, some of these things that she had brought, the gold and spices and so forth, to Solomon. She gave what she had. She gave abundantly. She gave what others were not willing to give. Will we do the same? What are we willing to give for Jesus? It starts with our obedience to Him, being baptized into Christ, and a faithful life thereafter. We gave earlier in our contribution. We give our time, we give our talents, we give our service to the Lord. Jeff was teaching this morning in the Bible class about local membership and the things that we do for each other, which is a good thought. A greater than Solomon is here. You know, there are people who have made Bible movies. You know, I think of Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments, for example. I don't guess you'll produce anything like that in the 21st century. That's a bygone era. But I think about movies that could be made about Bible stories, and I think the Queen of Sheba would make a good one. And you just picture in your mind all of this gold and all of this abundance and this long entourage traveling through the wilderness and coming into Jerusalem and all of the magnificence about that, but it pales in comparison to Jesus Christ. A greater than Solomon is here. When you read about the wealth of Solomon, also in 1 Kings chapter 10, it said that silver was so abundant, it was like stones in town. That's how much silver. Just like having rocks laying. All the stones and rocks laying around, that would be the silver. It's just everywhere. But even that doesn't compare to Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to see this morning. She came and she experienced a taste of the fame of Solomon, verse 1. What's interesting about this is if you look at the parallel account in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1, it adds this, that when the Queen of Sheba had heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, that's very important. She didn't show up just because she thought Solomon was a pretty cool guy. There were some things about Solomon's God that she also wanted to experience. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. It was his fame concerning the name of the Lord. What he was doing in and through God's power for Israel. And that's what the king was supposed to do. It wasn't supposed to be about himself. A greater than Solomon is here with a greater fame that we're going to talk about in just a minute. Are you and I willing to experience that? She got a taste of Solomon's wisdom. You might be thinking, well, what would that be? Well, read the book of Proverbs, and you'll get some of that great wisdom. Read the book of Ecclesiastes, and you'll get some of that great wisdom. She came to prove or test Solomon. She wanted to see if Solomon's wisdom could hold up under scrutiny and cross-examination. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll open up your New Testament and read the wisdom of Jesus Christ, put Him to the test. Ask your questions. Ask the hard questions. Young people, ask the hard questions. Ask the questions that your peers are talking about in social media and at school. Ask the questions. Go to the Scripture and see if the Word of God deals with that. It does. It deals with all of your questions. It will answer all of your questions. Even the difficult ones, even the hard ones. There are things in God's Word that will give us wisdom and guidance to handle those things. Notice the text in verse 2 says that she communed with him of all that was in her heart. I think there were some things that she said that were of a testing nature. Verse 1, she came to prove or test Solomon. But then some of her questions, I believe, were personal in nature to her. She began to talk about things that were just on her heart, things that were close to her. Do that with Jesus in the New Testament Scriptures. Things that you're having problems with. Things that you're struggling with. The Scripture deals with that. Today, people are turning to human wisdom for their guidance. And we see the mess that it's making of the world around us. All of her life's puzzling questions were answered. And the same is true with Jesus Christ. In verses 3 and 4, she got a taste of Solomon's worship. And this is important. It wasn't just about, hey, I've got some gold for you and some spices for you. What do you have for me? She was intrigued with regard to the temple and the God that is served there. Will we come and worship Jesus? A greater than Solomon is here. She got a taste of Solomon's blessings. She begins to look around in verse 7 and she says, happy are thy men and thy servants. The people that are around you and that get to be a part of your life, Solomon, they are happy and blessed. And that's the same with regard to Jesus Christ. Everyone sitting here this morning is happy and blessed in Jesus Christ. I spoke this morning on the radio program about peace of mind. This pandemic has caused great emotional problems with people. And drug abuse is up, and alcoholism is up. And all kinds of problems have arisen over the past year. People are struggling not only physically, but they're struggling emotionally on how to handle these things. And we can have peace of mind in Jesus Christ if we will allow that. But when we are around that which God wants, we're blessed and we're happy. There's a lot of sadness and anger and darkness in this world. But she said, happy are those who are around you. She got a taste of Solomon's God. This is impressive in verse 8. You would think that verse 8 was being spoken by one of the prophets of God. And remember, she's a non-Israelite. Blessed be Jehovah thy God who delights in thee. God delights in us and gives us that which is good. Number two, to set thee on his throne to be king for Jehovah thy God because thy God loved Israel. God loves us. To establish them forever, therefore made he thee king over them. And then notice how she recognizes the importance of Solomon living properly within God's word to do justice and righteousness. You can't just be any old king. You have to live according to God's standard. That's impressive. And then last of all, she got a taste of Solomon's giving, where in verse 12, Solomon gave all of these things. Now, as we close this morning, I want us to consider a greater than Solomon is here. This woman was greatly impressed with what she saw, but a greater than Solomon is here. She was astonished and surprised, and the text says that there was no more spirit in her. Verse 4, there was no, it was like she was just deflated. Wow. But brethren, a greater than Solomon is here. When we open the pages of our New Testament, we begin reading about the Almighty Son of God, the sinless, divine Son of God. We should be taken, wow. And she said, the half, verse 6, of thy greatness was not told me. There's much more here than what I was led on to believe. And I've come to experience this personally, and I'm seeing that there's just much more here. Do you know that that's what happens when you open your New Testament? Wow. So let's close this morning by considering a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus Christ has greater fame. Solomon was an impressive person, but Jesus is the divine Son of God. He's God in the flesh. And He gave up heaven without giving up deity. He gave up heaven to come and be with us. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we would do well to do all we can to get to Him each and every day, whatever that trip takes. How is Jesus greater? He's greater not in the sense of popularity. He's not greater in the sense of money. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. He's greater in the sense of being the divine Son of God. God in the flesh. Emmanuel. God with us. Let us do all that we can to get to Him and stay with Him. He has greater wisdom. When Solomon answered her questions, no doubt that was impressive. But Solomon, 1 Kings 3, asked for wisdom and God gave him wisdom. Jesus brings it with Him. He is the Word. He is wisdom. Nobody teaches Jesus. In Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. Colossians 2, 3. He is the wisdom of God. And we need to be coming to Him for that wisdom. All of us need guidance. All of us need questions that need answering. All of us need help. And Jesus is that. Please turn to His Word for guidance. And not the things of the world around us. He's greater in worship. The Queen of Sheba saw the the temple, and it was impressive. But the Old Testament worship was just simply to be a type of that which was to come. We have a greater covenant. We have a better covenant built on better promises. Hebrews 7:22, Hebrews 8, verse 6. We have a better worship in the church and in Jesus Christ today. Let us be experiencing that. And Seth mentioned this morning that when that's taken away from you from time to time, you miss it. And we should always want to be a part of that. We have greater blessings. The Queen of Sheba saw how that the men were happy and they had nice service under the reign of Solomon. But they didn't have what we have in Jesus Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness of sins. We have answered prayer. A greater than Solomon is here. All that we need spiritually is taken care of. In Jesus, we have a greater expression of God because He is God. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word, verse 14, became flesh and dwelt among men. And verse 18, Jesus declares God. Because He is God. Chapter 10, John 10, verse 30. He and the Father are one. They are of one nature. And when Philip asks Jesus in John 14, verses 7 through 9, show us the Father, Jesus said, I have shown you the Father. Because He is God in the flesh. A greater than Solomon is here. And then last of all, a greater giving. You know, the Queen of Sheba rode off to go back that 1,300 or 1,500 miles. And Solomon had given her not just some wisdom, but you imagine what she was thinking about going home. But gave her some gifts. And I'm sure that would be impressive. But you think about what you get through Jesus Christ. All that would pale in comparison. And not only that, but in Matthew 6:33, even physical necessities He will give us and He will take care of us. We put the kingdom first. Physical things God will give us. And we have all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. A greater than Solomon is here. I want us to be impressed with that in Jesus, so that we make that earnest effort each and every day to come be with Him. Jesus said that she came from the ends of the earth. This is a hyperbolic figure of speech, meaning a great distance. She had an honest and earnest search for truth. I think of Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever it takes for me to get to the truth. And we need to have that same attitude. She had a teachable spirit. She had a joyous satisfaction in what she heard when she got the truth from Solomon. Let us do the same this morning. With regard to Jesus, He is greater. I want to close with that statement again of the Queen of Sheba when she said, the half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me. Do you know that when you open up your New Testament, you're not reading everything that there is about Jesus or even what Jesus has to offer. Do you know that? Do you remember in John chapter 21 and verse 15, John said that if I were to write everything, I would have to have books and books to fill the world. When you open your New Testament from Matthew to Revelation, you're just getting the half of it. And there's a lot there. There are things about heaven that we're going to experience that we're not given the details about. There is so much more there. Let's do all that we can to get to it. But you know what? You don't have to come from the ends of the earth to get to Jesus. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to travel those great distances. He traveled a great distance to get to us. All we need to do is believe and obey His Word, which we hold in our hands. It's as close as on our phones even. But we need to read it and believe it and obey it and follow it. We don't have to travel 1,300 miles. We have brethren that we can conveniently worship with. God has blessed us with that. We have a Bible that's in our hands everywhere. Let's be busy with that same earnestness of the Queen of Sheba. Let's have that same earnestness to come to the One who is greater than Solomon. To get His wisdom, to worship Him, to receive His blessings. There may be someone here this morning as we stand and sing this song of encouragement that we can encourage you to come and be baptized into Christ, or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way, we would encourage you to do that. Think about the greatness that we have in Jesus Christ. And let's make that earnest effort every day to get to Him. If we can help you in some way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?